Mr. Chairman. Oh, boy. Okey dokey. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption as committee bills, the following bills, with the understanding that I may or may not vote for them on the floor or in committee. LC
37 LC 37 38 LC 37 37 37 40 37 37 42 37 43 and 37 36. Be introduced as committee measures as well as the request of the Oregon Internet Commission. 37 31. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so order. Close the work session. So, for the public hearing on House Bill 2727, Phil, you want to come on up? Mark, you want to give us a recap of where we are at on this bill?
Sure. House Bill 2727. Last time we met, did not have a chance to have Public Utilities Commission come in, testify in this bill. And what this bill does is provide the application of certain laws governing telecommunication services to unincorporated associations and cooperative corporations. It does not authorize the Public Utility Commission to establish terms, conditions, classifications, or rates for services rendered to members of these associations or corporations. Or give the Commission general powers of regulation over unincorporated associations and cooperative corporations that provide telecommunication services. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Phil, can you go ahead and make your comments?
Good afternoon, Chair Hill, members of the committee. Before I begin, I want to thank you for allowing me to substitute for Commissioner Smith. She asked me to apologize to the committee for not being here herself. She's quite ill today. And also, before I begin, I need to explain. I have found this to be a very complicated subject. I'm going to make an attempt to keep this as simple as I possibly can. It may generate a lot of questions, and I'll be happy to answer those. But I'm going to attempt to avoid a lot of jargon and a lot of detailed explanations of esoteric regulatory principles. The Commission is opposed to House Bill 2727 and makes several observations regarding it. First, I have passed out to the committee an opinion decision of the Oregon Court of Appeals issued in August of 1999, which we think is pertinent to hearing this bill. We think it clarifies what this bill is really about. We believe this bill is not a clarification of current law. It is a change from current law. And I don't propose to get into discussing the bill or the decision of the Court of Appeals with you. My suggestion is that we not do that today, but instead you have legislative counsel examine it. It's only 7 pages long. It's not terribly long. Then they can advise you. We believe that it will show that the PUC does currently have authority over the terms and conditions of through services. This is the one thing I probably do need to explain a little bit, what a through service is. Two examples are what we call toll/access service, and what this involves is the easiest way to explain, I think, is with an example. If I were to go out in the hall and from a payphone make a phone call to New York City, there would be 3 separate pieces to this. There would be a cost associated with using the local facilities here in Salem. There would be a cost of taking that phone call across the country, and there would be another cost associated with receiving that call in New York City. Call at this end and the call in New York City are what are known as access charges. They are fees that are paid for the use of local facilities. And, of course, the long-distance carrier, say AT&T, has its own cost. And together, these three charges are lumped together, and we call this toll access service. And this is an obvious case, we think, where the commission needs to be involved because the people who pay the charges to cooperatives, the access charges to cooperatives, are not members of the cooperatives. AT&T, for instance, is not a member of the cooperative. They can't go to the board and say, we think this access charge is unreasonable. Another example of a through service is extended area service, and I think most of you are familiar with this. Extended area service occurs when customers get tired of having to make a lot of long-distance phone calls to another local calling area, and they request that the PUC convert this toll route to an extended area service route where they pay a flat rate each month. The commission, and I probably need to state that the commission purpose in bringing this Court of Appeals decision to you is to demonstrate what we think current law is. It isn't to suggest to you that there's something unreasonable about considering changing current law. That's not the point I'm attempting to make. We do think, though, that it should provide some comfort that there is a reasonable, rational, and lawful basis for what the commission is doing today. And the basic intellectual idea for why it's appropriate for the commission to have limited authority over co-ops, and I need to emphasize, the commission has never asserted that it has general authority over co-ops. Only for through services does it believe it has some authority, is the point I mentioned earlier, that some of the services that a co-op charges, the prices for those are not paid by members, or actions they take have effects on people that are not members. Passage of House Bill 2727, we believe, would substantially endanger the current EAS process. We think it would slow it down for two specific reasons. First, it would reopen the very dispute that led to the Court of Appeal appealed to begin with. The co-ops asserted that the commission did not have the authority to request information from them, and the Court of Appeals said that we do. If the legal basis for the Court of Appeals decision is reversed here, we'll be right back where we were, and the co-ops will then have the option of again asserting that they don't have to provide us with information. We need this information in order to establish new extended area service routes, both to determine whether there's a legitimate need for extended area service. That is, by looking at the calling patterns, can we discern that a lot of long-distance calls are being made between these two local calling areas, and that a fairly broad cross-section of the populace is making these calls. And there are also financial implications for the companies involved, because when you convert a toll route to an extended area service route, it has an effect on the toll rates. Toll revenues go down, and also because extended area service is a flat rate, when it's put in place, people tend to make more calls than they did before, which creates a need for a new plant to be installed. We need to have data available to us from the cooperatives in order to determine whether or not it's a good idea to have a new extended area service route.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bell. Okay, it's my understanding that this case, judgment was in favor of PUC against Beaver Creek Cooperative, and basically the ruling of the case was that you are entitled to that information. Isn't that correct?
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, that's the bottom line. And in order to reach that determination, it was necessary for the Court of Appeals to interpret ORS 759-220 as well as ORS 759-225, which are ORS 759-225 is the subject of this bill before us. And our view is this seeks to reverse the legal basis for the Court of Appeals decision.
And you're relying on some obiter dictum in this opinion to reach to 759-225, correct?
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, that is correct. To be specific, we think our point is stated succinctly on page 6 of the decision, beginning on line 5, where it says, as we stated earlier, for purposes of ORS 759-220, the legislature has deemed cooperatives to be telecommunications utilities. Therefore, cooperatives are subject to PUC's general powers and duties to regulate telecommunications utilities for purposes of establishing terms or conditions of through service.
But that was not the central point of the, that's dicta. Or are you finding that that's not dicta?
Our, Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, our attorneys believe that it is more than dictum, because in order to arrive at the conclusion that they reached, that our rule, which required the companies, cooperative companies, to provide this information to us, was legal, had to determine what those two statutes meant. And common sense would suggest it's more than dictum, because even a layman could ask the question, if the court determined that the PUC had a legitimate right to ask for this information, wouldn't they also conclude that they have a right to do something with it when they get it?
Well, that would assume logic that someone possibly hope could be coming from this opinion, but they don't always go that far in their secondary opinions or in their following cases, so I'm not sure I can agree with you on that one.
Representative Partridge?
Is the EAS the only reason why the PUC needs this information?
Chair Hill, Representative Partridge, as we understand this bill, I think that is correct. We weren't present at the earlier hearing. Our interpretation of the bill is that this does not affect the PUC's authority over access charges. If that's correct, then the answer to your question is yes.
Then just as a comment, Mr. Chair, to me that doesn't seem like a very good argument, because your co-op is going to be a very small group of people. You know, if they want, and part of it is a consumer piece that drives the EAS process. And so consequently, if these people are wanting to be part of an extended service area, you would think that the members of the co-op would say, hey, we need to get this information to PUC so we can work together to extend this EAS so we can call into Portland or, you know, whatever the particular EAS does. So to me, I don't think this is a very valid argument, unless you can explain to me why you don't think the co-op would act in a fashion that would be of service to their members, either from someone calling into them as an EAS or the members of the co-op calling out to someone as an EAS. To me, it just doesn't make sense with how co-ops even work.
Chair Hill, Representative Partridge, I can't argue with the logic of what you tell me. It's based on the fact that we have had substantial difficulty getting this information in the past.
And just as a follow-up, so were the co-op customers or other customers complaining because they couldn't get part of an EAS? I mean, who was driving that? Or is it just something the commission want? Was it just information the commission wanted?
Chair Hill, Representative Partridge, it's information that the commission felt it needed to have in order to reach the determination about whether the EAS route was necessary and to determine the financial effects on the companies involved.
Thank you. Are we going to work session on this?
Excuse me, Chair Hill, I had one more point I wanted to make. The other concern that the commission has with this bill is that, as written, it has the other reason we think it could delay the implementation of extended area service is that, as it stands today, and I don't know how many of you hear from your constituents about extended area service, but we hear more complaints from unhappy people about this than we probably do anything else. They think we take too long. And we think we've done what we can to streamline that, but we do have a concern that if this bill becomes law, particularly in the Portland region, where we will have 10 or more companies involved at once, and we currently have the ability to act as the central information point and act with respect to all 10 companies, that at some point we're going to have to go to the co-op boards and ask them to go to their members and make decisions and come back to us. And until that's done, it isn't going to be possible for us to tell any of the companies that they can go ahead, because until we know that all the companies want to go ahead, nobody can go ahead.
May I ask another question, Mr. Chairman? Have you had any specific complaints about this co-op?
Chair,
consumer complaints.
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, in general or with
With respect to this EAS issue.
That Representative,
is driving your testimony.
Representative Hill, or Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, excuse me. Yes, we have. The specific extended area service tariff that has been in dispute recently and is currently in Clackamas County Court, one of the reasons that the commission got involved is we did have five co-op members file complaints with the commission. Three of them did come to the commission's public meeting where this was considered and testified before the commission.
Were these, may I follow up? Were these individual residential members, or were they businesses located in the area with a lot of lines, a lot of...
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, my recollection is that there was some of each. I think there was at least one business customer there. The other two might have been residential customers.
Okay. Is that a very high percentage given the service, the amount of people that this particular co-op serves? Is that an unusually high percentage of complaints?
Chair Hill,
for an enterprise of this kind?
Representative Lowe, I think whenever we receive complaints from co-op customers, it raises a concern with us because their first recourse is to their board, and it tells us that they have not been able to get a response from their board. We generally don't get a lot of complaints from co-op members. So, yes, I would say five is an unusually large number.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2727 and has not had an opportunity? We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2727. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2727.
Mr. Chairman. Before you open your work session, I must declare a conflict of interest on this particular case for the reason that my family and I have been members of Beaver Creek Telephone Cooperative in the past. We are no longer members of Beaver Creek Telephone Cooperative, having moved into town in 1979. However, it is my understanding that upon the sale of Beaver Creek Telephone Cooperative, we may receive some money. And I don't know how big or little, but
very well.
There you are.
Noted for the record. Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2727 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 2727 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I move that we put this on the consent agenda.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 2727 to the consent agenda. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2727. With that, we have no other business before the committee. Without objection, we are adjourned.